subheading: pedophiles, murderers, and con artists in spiritual paradise? The Watchtower made the statement that no one in our congregations could hardly be described as ferocious lions or rapacious wild beasts. But is that really true? What about the thousands of children of Jehovah's Witnesses who have been sexually abused by others who themselves were, and in some cases still are, Jehovah's Witnesses? Have they not been set upon and seduced by cunning, beast-like men? Have not these poor victims had their innocence and purity devoured, as it were, by sexually greedy, animalistic predators? Will the Watchtower honestly make some sort of acknowledgement and explain how thousands of child sexual abuse atrocities can take place in spiritual paradise? As an example, on August 9, 2004, in the town of Rock Hill, North Carolina, one of Jehovah's Witnesses named Joe Meza, who was facing trial for raping his own daughter, apparently slashed the throats of all three of his children and then evidently killed his wife and himself after setting their home on fire. Authorities claim that one of the murdered daughters was also sexually abused just a few days before her death. Evidently, though, Brother Meza was in good standing in the Rock Hill congregation in North Carolina. Presumably, he was standing shoulder to shoulder with the brothers and sisters in the local congregation, enjoying pacific spiritual fellowship all during the time he was sexually abusing his daughters, all the way up until the moment he murdered his family and committed suicide. Another case of child rape and murder occurred in British Columbia in 1985 and made national headlines when a Jehovah's Witness by the name of Jeffrey Anderson murdered his wife and her two daughters. It was later revealed in a recent parole hearing for the incarcerated killer that he had raped the young girls over the course of several years. In this case, the society and local elders bear some responsibility for the shocking crimes, in that Mrs. Anderson had left her abusive husband, but the elders counseled her to reconcile. Following their advice, Sister Anderson allowed her estranged husband back into her life, and as a result, she and her daughters were murdered by the deranged Jehovah's Witness. Then there is the serial pedophile Ricky McLean. Brother McLean was a congregation ministerial servant and was known by many of Jehovah's Witnesses in the Southern California area. But as recently as January 2009, McLean has been in the local San Diego news as the focus of a nationwide manhunt as one of America's 10 most wanted fugitives. His crimes? Allegedly, Ricky McLean has sexually abused hundreds of children, many of them being children of Jehovah's Witness parents who trusted Brother McLean. Admittedly, the tragedy in British Columbia, Rock Hill, and the notorious Ricky McLean are extreme examples. But is it really honest for the Watchtower to brush these horrible acts of wickedness off as mere human imperfections, as the article here under consideration does? And while McLean and many other pedophiles may have been disfellowshipped after their evil acts came to light, is the removal of an animalistic person after they have raped and devoured the innocence of their victims how spiritual paradise is maintained? The Watchtower actually claims that to be the case. But how is it even possible for such wickedness to have been perpetrated upon innocent children in the first place if Jehovah's Witnesses are truly living in a predator-free spiritual paradise? Were Adam and Eve set upon by ferocious beasts in the paradise of Eden? If not, why are Jehovah's Witnesses menaced by beast-like men in the Watchtower's spiritual paradise? There have also been several cases where appointed elders betrayed their sacred trust in highly publicized scandals. In Montana, an elderly sister, 100 years old, was defrauded out of millions of dollars by two scheming con artist elders, who were subsequently sentenced to prison by the authorities. The Helena Independent Record published the story with the bold subcaption, quote, "Two Jehovah's Witness church elders who fleeced a 100-year-old Deer Lodge woman out of her life savings and family ranch were sentenced Monday to 25 years in prison with 10 suspended." Another similar case involving a con artist elder occurred in Florida in 2003. The South Florida Sun Sentinel newspaper reported, quote, "A church elder was ordered by a federal judge on Tuesday to pay more than $4.7 million in restitution to almost 50 victims of a Ponzi-like con game, many of them elderly members of his own congregation. Financial consultant and ex-missionary Raymond L. Knowles, a former resident of Pembroke Pines in Opa-locka, and more recently San Antonio, Texas, was sentenced to 57 months in federal prison in January by U.S. District Judge Donald L. Graham for defrauding elderly and financially unsophisticated investors during a multi-million-dollar securities fraud scheme. He was convicted last October of 16 counts of mail fraud, 4 of wire fraud, and 4 of securities fraud. Many victims were fellow members of the same Jehovah's Witnesses congregation where he was an elder." Again, these two incidents may be extreme cases, but it demonstrates that great evils may often exist within the congregations of Jehovah's Witnesses, evils that the Watchtower either denies by their silence or prefers to gloss over in order to preserve their paradisaical illusions. It is natural to wonder, though, if the victims who were preyed upon by those treacherous overseers share the Watchtower's view that no rapacious individuals can be found among Jehovah's Witnesses. Of course, there are many, many other instances where Jehovah's Witnesses have committed various crimes, but these few examples should suffice to make the point. As the Apostle Paul might say, your reasons for boasting are not fine.